Hello and welcome to episode 452 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We're recording on Saturday, February 25th, 2023, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Saturday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain her patronage by St. Alphonsus Liguori. O my most holy mother, I see the graces which thou hast obtained for me, and I see the ingratitude of which I have been guilty towards thee. An ungrateful soul is no longer worthy of favors, but I will not on this account distrust thy mercy, which is greater than my ingratitude. O my great advocate, pity me. Thou dispensest all the graces which God grants to us miserable creatures, and for this purpose he has made thee so powerful, so rich, and so benign. He has done so that thou mightest succor us in our miseries. Ah, Mother of Mercy, leave me not in my poverty. Thou art the advocate of the most miserable and guilty criminals who have recourse to thee. Defend me also who recommend myself to thee. Say not that my cause is too difficult to be gained, for all causes, however desperate, when defended by thee, are gained. For all causes, in thy hands then do I place my eternal salvation. To thee do I entrust my soul. It was lost thou, then, by thy intercession, hast to save it. I wish to be inscribed amongst thy most devoted servants. Reject me not. Thou seekest the miserable to relieve them. Abandon me not, who am a wretched sinner, and who have recourse to thee. Speak for me. Thy Son does all that thou askest him. Take me under thy protection. That is all that I ask. Yes, for if thou protectest me, I fear nothing. I do not fear my sins, for thou wilt obtain a remedy for the evil they have done me. I do not fear the devils, for thou art more powerful than all hell. I do not even fear Jesus, my judge himself, for by a single prayer of thine he is appeased. I only fear that by my negligence I may cease to recommend myself to thee, and thus be lost. It is true that these graces are too great for me, who have not deserved them, but they are not too great for thee, who art so much loved by God. Hence he grants thee all that thou askest. Thou hast only to speak, and he denies thee nothing. Pray then to Jesus for me. Tell him that thou protectest me, and then he is sure to pity me. My mother, in thee do I trust. In this hope I shall live in peace, and in it I wish to die. Live, Jesus, our love, and Mary, our hope. May all the arrows that I speak be so many, may all the words that I speak be so many arrows dipped in the blood of thy sacred heart, O Jesus, to pierce the hearts of all who hear them. With love for thee, amen. Holy Face of Jesus of the Vale of Veronica. Dear Lord, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer these prayers in reparation for the sins which most offend God in our times. Blasphemy, the profanation of Sunday and holy days, and communism. Pater Noster, qui es in caeli, sanctificator nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum de nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittibus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tua mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. The Golden Arrow Prayer. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious and unutterable name of God be praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and in the hells by all God's creatures and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen. For the defeat of communists, Freemasons, and all revolutionary men. Eternal Father, I offer thee the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and all the instruments of his holy passion, that thou mayest put division in the camp of thy enemies, for as thy beloved Son hath said, a kingdom divided against itself shall fall. Eternal Father, we offer thee the holy face of Jesus covered with blood, sweat, dust, and spittle, in reparation for the crimes of communists, blasphemers, and for the profaners of the holy name and of the holy day of Sunday. Amen. My friends, we're going to take a look today at one of my heroes, the late, great Marcel Lefebvre, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. And this article is entitled Marcel Lefebvre and the Passion of the Church. And it's authored by Mr. Kennedy Hall at 1peter5.com. It was published yesterday, February 24th, 2023. It's my understanding that Mr. Hall is working on a book. He might already be finished with it. Believe it will be published soon about the great archbishop. He is a true hero, and I think he will one day not only be canonized but made a doctor of the church. Unfortunately, there are a lot of misunderstandings about him and what he did, and something I need to repeat. The priests of the Society of St. Pius X are not in schism. They are not heretics, and you can most definitely fulfill your Sunday obligation or Holy Day obligation by going to the Society of St. Pius X chapel. As a matter of fact, if you have one within driving distance, I highly recommend that you do so. Their priests are magnificent because they were formed properly. It's the primary reason why the Society of St. Pius X began. Yes, to preserve the Roman Rite, to preserve the traditional Latin Mass, but just as importantly, to form holy priests. The laity need holy priests who are preaching good homilies, who are living the truth in word and deed. When you see your priest, you should see an altar Christus, another Christ. And many of the men of the society, many of the priests of the Society of St. Pius X, at least the ones that I have seen, seem to be living virtuous lives, seem to be very holy men of God. And of course, they're preserving the Roman Rite. It's incredibly important. Let's pray for the success of the Society of St. Pius X. They are a model to the rest of the church. Mr. Hall begins by saying, knowing reality when you see it. Much ink has been spilled on the topic of the Society of St. Pius X and Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, and I imagine much more will be written as history continues. Are they schismatic? Was Lefebvre a renegade? Was he a rebel? Was Pope John Paul II correct to do what he did, and so on? No matter how many arguments are made, no matter how many documents are promulgated, and no matter how many debates are won and lost, there are those who see the truth about the SSPX and those who don't. When the topic of, quote, communion is brought up, the detractors of Marcel Lefebvre's army of priests become Gnostic mathematicians, opining about varying degrees of communion as if belonging to Christ's bride was a matter of degree or percentage point. If the Pope is kind to the SSPX, they might say, well, the sun is shining and I'm in a good mood, so by my calculations, the society has about 89 communion percentage points today. Alas, when it is cloudy out and a bishop writes a nasty letter because he does not want tradition in his diocese, well, on that day, the society goes from a passing grade to a failing grade in the eyes of the unappointed inquisitors of Lefebvre and his priests. There is an expression about the existence of God. For the believer, no proof is necessary, and for the atheist, no proof is possible. While this maxim is debatable, it is compelling because it appeals to a very simple reality. That is the reality of faith. I do not speak here of some amorphous and ethereal sentiment or some vague type of belief in something imaginary. Faith is the concrete belief in something we know to be real but cannot always see. I know God is real because reason makes it abundantly clear that it must be the case. I know I must trust my faculty of reason because I cannot make an argument against trusting it without using reason itself. All of this is to say that there are certain truths that are simply evident, and we choose to see them or we don't. So why don't some people see the evident truth that the SSPX, or Society of St. Pius X, are simply Catholic? In fairness, we live in a strange time, an abnormal era, a time when trying to live like your Catholic ancestors means being out of step with the mainstream and the church. It is an unprecedented time, and it is therefore understandable that unprecedented realities would arise. That being said, there is a reason, a very strong reason, I believe, that explains the hatred towards the SSPX. The passion of the church. Call to mind when Christ went to his passion. How many Christians were there at the cross? We know that along with Christ, there was the Virgin Mary, the Apostle John, and Mary Magdalene. Mary is an image for the church, and the church is the bride of the bridegroom, who is Christ. Of course, their union is not nuptial, but it is an image of the marriage between Christ and the church, just as Mary and Christ are an image of the first couple, the new Adam and new Eve. Mary is there because she cannot be separated from her son, even when he is crucified. When that spear went through Christ's side, the prophecy of Simeon was fulfilled. A sword shall pierce your soul also. Christ is crucified, and in a way, so is Mary. As she shares in those sufferings, her immaculate heart is pierced by the sorrow that killed her son. Mary Magdalene represents us, the laity. She is the sinner who was converted from damnation and who then follows Christ, fulfilling what St. Paul said when he wrote that he fills up those things that are wanting of the sufferings of Christ in Colossians 1:24. Mary Magdalene is penitential at the foot of the cross as Mary, the Mother of God, suffers with her son. Then there is John the Beloved. Christ ordained 12 men to the episcopacy on Holy Thursday, and a day later, only one was found at his side when he died. John was not the Pope, Peter was, but Peter denied the Lord 3 times before sunrise. And there's a footnote here where Mr. Hall says, "This is a typological expression, and it is understood that the Petrine ministry began after the church was established in an official capacity. However, the Pope is Peter, thus the image of Peter denying our Lord gives us the reason to believe that the rock upon which the church was built could falter as an individual, even if the office remains." The main text of the article continues. Mary Magdalene did not walk with John to the cross because she wanted to be separated from Peter. In the same way, Catholics who follow Marcel during the church's passion do not do so in order to separate from the successor of Peter. In both cases, they painfully accept the sufferings of Christ and the difficulty of Peter's betrayal. Thus, we see that when the bridegroom is crucified and the bride suffers with him, the laity looks onward in sorrow, with all but one bishop having fled. New Testament typology. Now, Scripture gives us models for what will come to pass in the church. Fulton Sheen spoke about this years ago in a sermon where he explained that the church had gone through various deaths and resurrections, of course metaphorical, but deeply true nonetheless. It makes sense. In order to share in the life of Christ, we must share in the death of Christ in some way, as this was part of his life. It is unavoidable. Thus, when we see the church going through a certain death, we ought not be afraid, as the mystical body of Christ will, of course, share in the sufferings of Christ. Marcel Lefebvre understood this. He knew all too well that the church was going through her passion. Not only did he understand this, but he knew that it was not unexpected that the Pope, Peter, was absent from the crucifixion of the church, just like in Scripture. After the council, it was clear that, quote, the smoke of Satan, end quote, had entered the church. As Pope Paul VI had said, the popes knew what was happening as they saw the new springtime bring on a winter of death in vocations in Catholic families. The passion of the church was obvious, but Peter would not follow Christ to the cross. Lefebvre was a bishop, which is to say he was an apostle, and like John, he was there at the cross when everyone else had fled, along with the Virgin Mary, who animated his every move. Along with Lefebvre, the beloved apostle of the 20th century, was a small remnant of the church, weeping over the plight of Christ's bride, as she was mocked and ridiculed by the world, like Mary Magdalene was there when Christ was mocked by the Roman Empire that ruled the world. If a diabolical disorientation has enwrapped the church, then should we be surprised when we approach the cross and find that almost no one there, and find that there's almost no one there to comfort our Lord? Imagine the absurdity of suggesting that John could be excommunicated by Peter because he would not follow him away from the cross. In a sense, the fact that it has happened this way should give us comfort. It should comfort us to know that the present passion is truly a passion after the image of Scripture. This means that what follows will be a resurrection, where we will see Peter with his threefold declaration of love and devotion to our Lord after his threefold denial and abandonment. The bad will, anti-trad critics. Now, the detractors of Lefebvre will scoff at these remarks and brush them aside as foolish, believing it impossible that our time is a time of passion and that our John was called Marcel. It will be said that the traditionalists who love Marcel and believe him to be a saint are nothing more than malcontents. They will dismiss my words as a fantasy without enough footnotes. In the minds of the enemies of the SSPX, it is nonsense to say such things as I have said, as I have gone too far and said things that are not so. Things may be bad in the church, but they are certainly not that bad, they say. They believe that when people like you and me point out the lashes and scourges that the body of Christ receives in this decades-long Good Friday, we are causing scandal and not seeing things clearly. But in reality, it is because we love Christ and his bride so dearly that we cannot help but follow on the path to Golgotha. We don't point out the wounds of the church because we hate the church any more than one could be said to hate the Christ because they point out his holy wounds. It is not us who is taking the scourge to the mystical body, but it is us who will call the scourge a scourge and not pretend the winter is a springtime. We will weep for the scourge, knowing our sins, and we will do penance. The detractors will not see Lefebvre for who he truly was, because this would mean they must accept that there is a present death that is really fatal. Like Christ, when the church goes through her passion, she must really die. That is, die in the eyes of the world. She must be mocked, she must be beaten, and her high priests must abandon her to the powers of the empires. This is exactly what has happened since the council, and it has been a bloody affair. Good faith and bad faith. Of course, there are many Catholics of goodwill who do not understand the SSPX and do not comprehend the sanctity of Marcel Lefebvre. But if they truly are of goodwill, I believe they will see if they study these matters, or at least they will not treat their fellow Catholics as if they were outside the church. They will give these heroic priests the respect they deserve. If they are not of goodwill, then they will never see, but not because they are incapable, but instead because they are afraid to descend into the dead with Christ. Following the path of tradition with Lefebvre is not for the faint of heart, and it will cost you greatly. You will be mocked, disowned, and the subject of calumny and detraction by men who feign virtue. You will be called uncharitable by those who uncharitably judge your interior will, and because of this, calumniate your good name as a schismatic. It is all projection. They call you uncharitable because they lack charity. They call you a schismatic because they want nothing to do with you. Better yet, they want nothing to do with the cross. And it is easier to blame Marcel and his followers than their own lack of courage. They prattle on about not being in full communion because they lack an open heart to truly hold communion with their brethren. Who knows? Maybe this monologue will soften the hearts of those who resent Marcel and his priests. I hope it does. However, there will be those who persist in their hardness and who will find more reasons to drone on and on with tired arguments. This is to be expected. As Aquinas said, quote, "If any man desires to contradict my words, let him not do so by chattering before boys, but let him write and publish his writings, so that intelligent persons may judge what is true and may be able to confute what is false by the authority of the truth," end quote. Ultimately, it shouldn't surprise us that so many hate Marcel and the SSPX because great saints suffer in times of persecution, and those who are terrified by the passion will find ways to avoid the cross. So ends the article. Mr. Hall is a contributing editor for 1 Peter 5. He is the author of Terror of Demons, Reclaiming Traditional Catholic Masculinity, and Lockdown with the Devil, a novel published by Our Lady of Victory Press. I read both of those books. They are fantastic. I highly recommend them. He is a writer at Catholic Family News, LifeSite News, and is the host of the conservative talk radio show, The Kennedy Report. He is married with four children and lives in Ontario, Canada. And please keep Mrs. Hall in your prayers. I know that she fell on the ice several weeks ago, of course. Brutal winter up north, especially in Canada, as it usually is. So she had a slip and a fall on the ice, and she hit her head. She's recovering nicely at this point, but it's been a tough slog. So please keep Mr. and Mrs. Hall and their children in your prayers. He's a good man. And the Society of St. Pius X is a holy society. And once again, you can fulfill, and I recommend you do, if there is a society chapel within driving distance, you can fulfill your Sunday obligations and holy days of obligations in good conscience by attending a chapel there. When I used to live in Orchard Park, for the last few months that I lived in New York State, I attended a Society of St. Pius X chapel, and I was very impressed. There are holy priests and holy laity committed to upholding tradition. A lot of times you hear about traditional folks, they'll use various terms like they're rigid or they're combative or confrontational. I've never found that in my dealings with anyone of the Society of St. Pius X, as far as the priests are concerned or the laity who were attending the chapel. So let's pray for the restoration of the traditional Latin Mass. It is under such attack these days. And let's pray for the conversion of Pope Francis. Let's pray for the conversion of all bishops, especially those who are opposing tradition. May they repent and believe in the gospel. May their hearts be set on fire with love for Jesus Christ and love for the truth. Because as the great Peter Crafts says, in the end, only two things really matter in life, truth and love. They're both equally important. Let us conclude, my friends, by mentioning once again Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, located on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. In episode 277 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, I interview my wonderful sister and equally wonderful niece about RPM. That is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. This has been a tremendous breakthrough. As I've mentioned before, we didn't even know my niece's favorite color before RPM. Now we know she is a comprehensive genius and a brilliant musical composer, and she just has so many talents, so many creative abilities. And it's because of the blessing of Rapid Prompting Method that we were able to discern that. So let's spread the word far and wide, because communication is a human right. Let us pray for help and for healing now for our non-speaking friends and family members. Almighty and eternal God, healer of those who trust in you through the intercession of Saint Raphael Archangel, hear my prayer for non-speakers and their families. In your tender mercy, restore them to spiritual and bodily health, that they may give you thanks, praise your name, and proclaim your wondrous love to all. I ask this through Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Prayer of Saint Louis de Montfort. Hail, Joseph the Just, wisdom is with you. Blessed are you among all men, and blessed is Jesus, the fruit of Mary, your faithful spouse. Holy Joseph, worthy foster father of Jesus Christ, pray for us sinners and obtain divine wisdom for us from God, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. By thy pure and immaculate conception, O Mary, obtain for me the conversion of Russia, Spain, Portugal, Europe, the United States of America, Canada, and the whole world. The three Hail Marys in honor of the immaculate purity of Our Lady of Fatima. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. And a Gloria Patri for a special intention. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Virgo potens, ora pro nobis. Sancti Iosef, terra daemonem, ora pro nobis. Sancta Raphael Archangeli, ora pro nobis. In nomine Patris et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Thank you very kindly, my friends, for listening to episode 452 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. In your charity, please share Our Lady's podcast with everyone you know. Follow us on Twitter. The handle is at Fatima Podcast. And most importantly, please offer up prayers and sacrifices for our Catholic bishops. Goodbye, and God love you.